Hey everybody, welcome to the True Crime Squad. I'm Christy Brower, here with my sister, co-host, and partner in crime, Katie Weaver. Hey, Katie.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, it is going good. We took a ride today just to get some vitamin D because the sun's shining. It was beautiful and...
Yeah.
Good, good, good.
Which is good because the snow is coming back tomorrow.
Yeah, but as for today, it was gorgeous. Plus... I had some things in the kiln until late last night, so I didn't get to pull them out of the kiln until this morning, and I was so freaking excited. I'll give you guys the tiniest peek. This isn't even a good picture. You'll see more That's of these so later, fun. But they're little just little hangers that you could hang like in a window or in a plant or whatnot, and they're going to be attached to greeting cards, and they are so cute, and I'm just dying.
They are so cute.
So I made all of those little flowers and butterflies and things and the stems and stuff, and then fused them onto the glass. I also had to learn how to not just cut glass but grind it this time, to grind it into hearts.
So,
that was another big step in the glass fusing situation.
But you're getting your skills. That's so cool.
Actually, grinding's kind of fun.
Yeah, I bet.
It's kind of violent
as long as there's no take your aggression out.
Right. So yeah. I'm well.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. I am too. I am making a kind bear.
That helps.
None of that helps. This? No.
No, when you were just behind it. Yeah. Well.
Whatever. Oh my God.
Let me try a headstand.
I'm making these cute little kind bear. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Little pendants. Did a bunch of these came in the mail today, and I was so excited.
They are adorable.
And here's another crow skull that I showed one last night. And this one has a fidget potion bubble in the head. And
you are having a really hard time.
I'm having a really hard time. Anyway, go take a look at Fidget Whimsy because there's a lot of fun stuff that's going to be showing up there in the next couple of days, because I have a lot of new stuff. So anyway,
great.
I won't try to hold anything else up to the camera tonight. How's that?
It's fine. It's probably fine.
Well, it's time for a Mormon Misdeeds episode because, well, there be a lot of shenanigans going on with some Mormons. So, Katie, I am going to kick the mic over to you to get us started. Did you forget we have that intro now?
I did. We're really out of sync tonight. Sorry about it. I have four small things to share. Somehow, I didn't have a bigger case. It just felt like it came together, and I had lots of small things that I felt like were worth sharing, so that's where we are. So I'm going to start with the Colorado Springs Deputy District Attorney. We've already discussed him. This, of course, is David McConkie. David McConkie was a former stake president in the Mormon Church, and he has been charged with a sex offense, sexual assault on a child. He's pled not guilty, and apparently there was a plea negotiation in progress with the prosecutor. That's actually been in process since November. They waived a preliminary hearing. It looked like there was just going to be a plea, and this would go away, you know, as they do. But for whatever reason, just yesterday, McConkie's attorney, Colin Breeze, let the judge know that they have failed to reach an agreement, and he definitely is pleading not guilty and is planning on going to trial.
Wow.
So the trial should start on May 28th. So not entirely sure why. The prosecution had said the plea deal would give him, they'd see him plead guilty to one count of attempted sexual assault against a child, which is a class 5 felony. They also said that they'll leave that offer open until early March if he wants to change his mind. So, but get this. If he accepted the plea deal, he would be sentenced to a term of sex offender intensive supervised probation with no jail time.
Oh, my God. I'm so tired of cases ending up with stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So
he's probably trying to get it pled to a point where he doesn't have to be registered as a sex offender.
Right. That's he's trying to get it dropped, I would imagine, to a misdemeanor. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. We see that happen here in local cases all the time. Mm-hmm. And it makes me so goddamn mad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Idaho is so light on sex offenses. It's just crazy. You will more jail time and more prison time for marijuana than you will for assaulting a child.
It's all day long. All day long.
The craziest. So we'll keep track of that one and let you know what we find out. Yeah. But as of now, that is where it's at. So I also wanted to talk about the dentist. You guys remember the dentist who poisoned his wife, or at least he's allegedly poisoned his wife last year, a Mormon guy with a big old family and a history of poisoning his wife, unfortunately.
Yes.
This is James Craig. So James is set to go to trial here in a couple of months. And his attorneys have filed a brief demanding that the Google searches found on his work computer be thrown out. So if you remember that, we discussed this. They're saying that the scope of the search warrant that they had wasn't broad enough to include that computer. It's a big
stretch. Wait a minute. Email accounts can be viewed on any computer.
Yeah, it's a big stretch. Well, it's not just email accounts. This was the search history. If you recall, one of his employees.
Well, that's there too. If you're signed into Google in your browser, then your search history also shows up.
Right. Yeah.
On multiple computers.
Yeah. So one of his employees had told the police that he just recently had taken to using a computer in one of the treatment rooms and had used it quite a bit.
Right, yes.
A laptop. And when they searched that laptop, they discovered an email account that was quite new called jimandwaffles@gmail.com or something along that iteration. And it was that account that was signed in that had searched for multiple things around poison.
Right.
So he had searched for things like how many grams of pure arsenic would kill a human? And is arsenic detectable in autopsy? So at any rate, they're trying to say that they were illegal and went beyond the scope of what was asked for in the search warrant. Obviously, the district attorney is saying this is absolutely ridiculous, and they're trying to use hyper-technical construction of the language in the warrant. They're doing their job. Defense attorney.
Well, they don't have attorney, much, you know. There's not much defense in this case, so
yeah,
I'm sure they're trying, you know, attacking the evidence.
Yeah, for sure. So at any rate, that's hasn't been ruled on, but that's what they're trying to do. And again, this is just leading up to his trial that's coming up here in a couple of months. So the trial is set to start on April 23rd, with jury selection starting on April 19th, and they figure it will last until about May 7th. As of now, we will be hip deep in the Daybell trial at that time, and so we probably won't cover it a lot. We'll probably have to backtrack on it.
Yeah, probably. That's going to be... Well, y'all remember when Lori Vallow was on trial. We had to let a lot of things go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, baby wipes. No, I'm kidding.
That's we're not as bad as Shannon Smith. We're definitely still able to shower.
For sure. Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, regular adults.
I know. Weird. Weird. Yeah. So, at any rate, we'll keep an eye on it. That's pretty much what we know. But,
okay.
Oh, the other thing I didn't know about this case, actually. So we knew that he had ordered, from the arrest warrant affidavit, we knew that he had ordered some different poisons, right? Under his dental license.
Yeah.
Here's something I did not know. Her autopsy indicated she died from lethal doses of cyanide. We figured that. Mm-hmm. And tetrahydrozoline, which is the decongestant found in over-the-counter eye drops. I had not heard that before.
I hadn't either. And that stuff's super poisonous. Mm-hmm. It's crazy that it's for sale over-the-counter because, you know, if a kid gets a hold of it and drinks it, it'll kill him.
Yeah.
You know?
Your dog gets a hold of that and chews it up.
I know, that's scary. Dogs
like mine that will do shit like that. Kill them. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's scary. I mean, isn't it the eye drops? It takes the redness out of your eyes is what tetrahydrozoline does. Mm-hmm. But yeah, people have like just dropped it in a drink and killed somebody with it before.
Yeah, we covered a case not too long ago of a caregiver who murdered her her charge that way after she'd, you know, convinced her to give her the keys to the kingdom and then murdered her with that and said later, there was a lot of it around the house. She really liked to drink it. Bitch, no, she didn't. You killed her.
No one likes to drink it. It kills you.
Yeah.
Totally dead. Yep.
Wow. I don't know why she liked to drink it, but she just did. Uh-huh. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jan.
That's the thing about James Craig, man. He wanted to be sure that his wife was dead. That's just so hideous. God.
Really, really dangerous. Yeah. Okay, so this next story is not necessarily Mormon misdeeds. It's more like, oh, Utah, you strike again. But this deserves some light. So recently, a woman named Natalie Klein, she is a member of the Utah State School Board. And she posted some photos on Facebook of a flyer advertising a basketball game at a local high school featuring a player on the team, a high school basketball player, a girl, questioning if people thought she was transgender or not.
What? Oh, my God.
Now, I visited Natalie's Facebook and I was horrified, not just by the things she posts, but the comments that people make. She was absolutely frothing up the crowd and it worked. So Jesus. A few things that happened. A, this is a bio girl. Not that it would matter if it was, but it is. She just happens to be a taller girl and great at basketball. So surely she would have to be transgender, right? The police have had to put this child and her family in police custody because this woman put their lives at risk. They have received a ton of threats and frightening language. And apparently on her initial post, the things that were said by other people were absolutely appalling. The school district and police have also had to amp up the security at her high school in Granite County by a large degree because of threats against the school.
Oh my God.
So now people are like, yeah, we want her gone from the school board. She does not need to do this. As it turns out, she's apparently posted things in the past that have caused a bunch of backlash for people and a bunch of hate speech.
My God. And these are kids we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And so it's causing a pretty good hullabaloo in Utah right now. And the school board is saying, don't worry about it. We're going to deal with her. But people are pretty skeptical because she's been dealt with in the past and just keeps spreading hate. But this poor girl, her life has been put in danger. The sport that she loves has, I am sure, been completely soured for her.
Right.
Her family has been put in danger. Her entire school has been put in danger. Her team has been put in danger for absolutely nothing. She did nothing. Nothing. No. She was just playing basketball.
My God. She should sue her for defamation.
I hope she does. I hope she sues the bejesus right out of her. That's exactly what needs to happen.
Well, it is. It seems to be the only thing that gets people's attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is so ridiculous.
Awful.
Make a teenage kid a target like that? Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Other than you're just a terrible person.
From an elected or a public official.
Yeah.
Public official for the schools. Yeah. You know, because we're protecting the children. Yeah. Oh, okay. My God.
Right. We've heard that bullshit enough times.
I'm so over this kind of stuff. That girl didn't deserve this. Her family didn't deserve this. None of them. Her team, her school. How fucking dare you?
Right.
So we'll keep an eye on that. I doubt we'll see anything else about it, but I sure hope they're safe. I hope she can rebound from this, no pun intended, and continue to play the sport that she loves. And frankly, I hope a whole bunch of schools come out of the woodwork and offer her Booley scholarships to come play for them.
Right. Absolutely. I know. I agree. I hope she can go on and be able to play basketball and be happy with that, mm-hmm. if that's what she wants.
If that's what she wants. Yep.
Yeah.
And then lastly, and this is kind of an interesting outcome that's potentially happening in Utah. There is a bill that has been projected that would shield faith leaders from criminal and civil liability if they were to turn over abuse to the police.
You know, that's redundant, though, because... Mm-hmm. There are good Samaritan laws in every state that protect people in situations like that. You, mm-hmm. I'm sure you already can't, like, go after someone for reporting.
I don't know about Utah. You maybe can.
Maybe. I don't know. You can't. Not in Idaho. We have good Samaritan laws. Although, if it's past abuse and they're reporting it late to the game, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm. So currently Utah does not require clergy to report abuse if they learn about it in confessions, but there's nothing on the state's books that prevents them from notifying the authorities. So yes, they can, but they typically don't. So now they would find themselves protected from civil and criminal liability. It still doesn't go far enough because it absolutely does not require them. They're not... mandatory reporters. They're not required. And it also would only protect them if it is current abuse, not something that happened in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so, pretty sure I know why they're doing that. We'll talk about that in a minute.
So, Representative Lubeau, who wrote the bill, he says, the clergy who choose to report information about child abuse they hear in confession are protected from civil and criminal liability. It's a way to reward those who are already reporting abuse and neglect, and it will incentivize others who want to report it. Reward you? You mean protecting children isn't enough? Turning in abusers isn't reward enough?
Yeah.
Like, where the hell is the backbone here? Where are the guts? Where's the humanity?
Yeah.
Where's the Christ-like behavior? Where is any of it? But the thing about this article that really got me is that this was in the Salt Lake Tribune. The headline said, another Utah bill allowing clergy to report abuse emerges, because there's been a whole bunch of them in the past several years proposed, and none of them have ever made it out of the House.
Imagine.
But the other part of the headline is, LDS Catholic churches are not blocking it. Not blocking it.
Blocking it. Yeah. Well, they're just saying the quiet part out loud, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on one hand, I'm glad they're at least trying to take some kind of action. But on the other, why don't we take it a step further and do the actual right thing? I mean, come the hell on.
Well, and they're talking out of both sides of their mouth, as usual, because it was just last year that they went through the whole thing in Arizona and took it clear to the Supreme Court and got it confirmed for them that their clergy did not have to report, and got a big lawsuit dropped against them. So this is not benevolent planning at
no.
all.
No, absolutely not. It's ridiculous that this is even a conversation.
It is.
So, on one hand, I'm glad somebody's trying to advance something to try and protect children in Utah. But on the other, and maybe this will be the start of something bigger, but on the other, there needs to be a lot more than this.
Yeah.
So, we'll let you know if it passes or if it just dies on the House floor in Utah, and it very well may.
Well, because
people don't be liking to report sex abuse.
Well, Mormons don't.
Mm-mm. So with that, I'm going to kick it back over to you for your main case.
Okay. All right. So what I have is kind of a double case, and it is also, I think, what may be part of what is pushing this new legislation in Utah. So this is a situation that has come out of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So a Mormon church leader has actually been charged for not reporting sexual abuse allegations. Mm-hmm. This is in Cumberland, Pennsylvania. This is Rhett Hintz, who is a stake president. It's really funny to read this article that I'm reading because they obviously do not know anything about Mormons because, like, the wording's all wrong the way they're it's really funny. But he is a stake president, which means a stake is a group of wards mm-hmm. he oversees. So there are 7 wards in his stake. So he has been charged with failure to report or refer allegations that were made against this guy, Sean Corey Gooden. That's Sean Corey Gooden. And here's what happened. Sean Corey Gooden was an LDS official and a Boy Scout leader.
Of course he was. He
was accused of abusing at least 2 victims in the 90s and early 2000s. So Gooden, who was a leader in his own ward, mm-hmm. Was also charged in separate cases in Virginia in 2022 and Berks County, Pennsylvania in 2023 with sexual assaulting a minor. Probably a Boy Scout case, I would imagine. It doesn't say. I don't know.
I'll bet it is. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And Pennsylvania police also say there was another assault that had allegedly occurred at a state park. So, yeah, Boy Scouts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that reeks of Boy Scouts, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, Gooden and the victim had disclosed the sexual assault to Hintz as early as October of 2020. Now, Pennsylvania has way better laws than Utah or Idaho. Yeah. They have what's known as the Child Protective Services Law, mm-hmm. which made Hintz's role as a stake president a mandatory reporter.
Oh!
You know, as all us adults should be. And he...
You mean when you hear that somebody has sexually assaulted a child, you should say something to the police?
Yeah.
Come now.
It turns out that you should. So he didn't report to anyone.
Wow.
So Pennsylvania is real sensitive about this stuff, if you might remember, because mm-hmm. of the Jerry Sandusky scandal at Penn State.
Yeah.
And so when that happened, the Pennsylvania added a whole bunch more categories of people to the list of mandatory reporters. Now, in Idaho, all adults are mandatory reporters, but I do think that we have a protection of clergy clause, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So listen to this. Under Pennsylvania law, failure to report or refer a third-degree felony can carry a penalty of up to 7 years in prison.
Holy shit. Wow.
And I'm going to show you a picture of this jackass, because his face deserves to be everywhere, and he has been charged with a crime. This is Rhett Hintz.
Good.
Here he is. Boy, he sure looks like a Mormon guy, doesn't he?
I swear I know him. Yeah.
Right? I know. When I saw the picture, that's a picture off his LinkedIn, mm-hmm. and I thought it was so funny because it was like, oh my God. Yeah, I'm surprised he doesn't live in Utah. Looks like all the Mormon guys I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not all, but a lot of. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you know, you'd think this would be a good thing. Like, this is movement in the right direction. And, you know, Gooden is doing time for this, as he should be. And this guy should be arrested for not reporting and not protecting children and not getting predators off the street. Well, that's what you might think, but that is not at all what the Mormon Church says. So, yeah, listen to this.
That tracks.
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, says it will vigorously defend Mr. Ol Hintz against charges that he allegedly failed to report a 23-year-old sexual abuse case. Here's their statement. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, work actively to prevent abuse. Are you motherfucking kidding me? Our hearts ache for victims of abuse, and the church is committed to addressing such incidents wherever they are found. The church trains its leaders to support their lawful efforts. The charges now brought by local prosecutors for failing to report the abuse are misguided, and the church will vigorously defend him.
Misguided.
Misguided. I mean,
here's the thing. People don't just assault one kid. It doesn't just happen one time or two times.
Right.
Now, we're not alleging anything, but the reality is offender's going to offend. Mm-hmm. And these are just things that they've been caught for.
Right. This is just what they know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Won't know. So, police, you know, found out that he knew. Mm-hmm. Sean Corey Gooden, he actually assaulted two child relatives.
Ah.
Yeah. That's just awful. You cannot tell me they're the only ones.
No. Nope, likely not. But these are the ones, again, that have been... have gotten light.
Right.
But don't you worry, the church is going to defend them vigorously on this misguided charge.
One of the things they're saying is that confidential communications made to a member of the clergy are protected. First of all, that's bullshit. It should always be bullshit. Second of all, Mormon church leaders are not clergy. They are untrained volunteers. You cannot call them clergy. They aren't. They aren't priests. They aren't reverends. Not that any of them, this should be okay for anybody, but using the clergy protection is such bullshit because Mormon church leaders are not clergy. Clergy are priests, reverends, pastors, ministers. These guys aren't any
Just as bad, but yeah.
Right.
But they don't get the training.
No.
And then with the church, when someone tells them something like this, and they call the bishop's helpline to just learn what to do, they end up talking to lawyers.
Yeah.
Lawyers at Curtin McConkie, who tell them to shut the fuck up.
Yep. And you don't have
stand
to
stand down. That's one that was
you
said
are not
recently.
Required to report because you need a requirement to report child abuse. I don't care how old it is. This guy is still, you know, was still functioning out there in the world until very recently.
Yeah.
He was a predator who posed a massive risk to children. But, I mean, why am I not surprised? I also saw, and I could not find it again, and I wish I could, one of the wards in that stake where Rhett Hintz is the stake president, the bishop stood up and gave, which is the leader of that ward, but again, not clergy, volunteer, untrained, stood up and defended the stake president and said that this was a terrible thing that happened and it should never have happened. And that, you know, they're standing behind their stake president and the decisions that he made. They said that one of the ward's leaders said that at the pulpit. And I saw it on TikTok and I could not find it again. I wanted to play it for you. But I couldn't. It was disgusting, though. It would just make you want to vomit to listen to it. Mm-hmm. They're standing by their man, you know.
Mm-hmm. But who stands by the kids? Who stands by the victims?
Well, nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody in the Mormon church.
It's horrific.
So let me tell you just a little bit more about this gross dude, Sean Corey Gooden. So he actually pleaded guilty in July of 2023. He pled guilty to assaulting a relative between the ages of 9 and 13 multiple times over the course of January 1997 to December 2000.
Wow.
Up until his arrest, he was a bishop in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, and member of the executive board for the New Birth of Freedom Boy Scouts organization, according to public records for the organization. He was also a lawyer at Weber, Gallagher, and Thomas, Thomas and Hafer LLP in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Yeah. So this guy had a lot of power in his community. And obviously used it to get away with some terrible things for a long time.
Yeah.
These are only the things that we know of that occurred. There may be other cases, guys. Guys like this don't usually stop. And that's one of the reasons why they always need to be reported. Mm-hmm. Always. So he was sentenced to serve, excuse me, at least 2.5 years in prison, followed by 5 years of supervised probation. And he has to be registered as a sex offender.
Good.
2.5 years doesn't seem like shit.
No.
However, he is all, oh, man, I did not read this paragraph until just now. He's facing 19 more charges regarding the rape of 3 children under, what did we say? Of course, this wasn't the only thing.
There it is.
Regarding the rape of 3 children under the age of 13 years old in Berks County, Pennsylvania. Those offenses are dated April 21st, 2000, and he was arraigned in September of 2023. So we'll keep an eye on that because he's definitely going to be facing a lot more prison time.
Yeah, those 2.5 years are going to be child's play compared to where he's going to be when this is all over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Thank God he's off the street now. But wow, somebody who could have gotten him off the street a long time ago.
Yeah, they can prove that Hintz knew in 2020, so years before. And who knows if there are other victims, if there would be more in the future.
Also, who knows who else knew? What other bishops and state presidents knew?
Yeah, how many times has he already confessed this somewhere?
Yeah.
And I got to tell you something. Mormons don't do confession. You know, confession, and they use this term a lot when they're defending their shitty leaders, but Mormons don't have confession. You can go and talk to the bishop and you might have, you know, about things that have happened, but it's not like
Catholic confessional. Confession. Not at all.
No, it isn't.
This would be a face-to-face meeting with the bishop where you would just have a chat. And then if they thought what you did was bad enough, then they'd decide exactly what you have to do to repent. And if they thought what you did was bad enough, they might involve the state president and you may have to also confess to them. But it's not like Catholic confessional at all.
If that clears
anything up for anybody, it's just a visit. Yeah. It's just a chat.
But the Mormons kind of like to jump on the bandwagon with the Catholics, which I find very interesting because Mormons hate Catholics. We were taught that the Mormon church is the great abomination upon the earth when we were kids. Catholic church, I mean, sorry. Sorry, Freudian slip there. We were taught that Catholicism was of the devil when we were kids. We were raised to hate Catholics, which I always thought was really stupid.
Hate or at least really distrust Catholics.
Yes. Yeah. Don't trust them. Don't ever go in their churches, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But whenever you see like religious freedom kind of bullshit coming up, the Mormons and the Catholics will align.
Uh-huh.
So I guess if...
For similar reasons.
Yeah. If the Catholic Church is the great abomination and the Mormon Church aligns with them...
Yeah.
If the shoe fits, you might also be the great abomination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that is what we know in that case. We will keep you updated because obviously there's more court coming for the stake president as well as the sex offender. Mm-hmm. So hoping for good justice for all of them. Hintz could spend up to 7 years in prison for this.
Yeah.
And there's an ex-Mormon Reddit group that I love. And someone from Pennsylvania commented in there that since the, you know, the real bad stuff that went down at the university in Pennsylvania, I can't think of the guy's name. Anyway, Pennsylvania takes no shit when it comes to child abuse and reporting abuse and that kind of stuff. And this person seemed to think that this guy's probably going to get slapped hard.
Wow.
And I hope he does because he deserves to.
Sucks to suck.
Yeah, it certainly does.
The previous article that I mentioned from the Salt Lake Tribune, one of the things that the writer of the bill had said was that, unfortunately, this bill puts ecclesiastical leaders could put them at odds with their religion if their religion asks them not to talk to authorities, but they choose to.
Yeah. But an interesting thing is happening in Utah because people are tired of the Mormon Church running the state. There have been a lot of things come to light and a lot of investigations happening. I mean, even just look at like the Tim Ballard situation, the Jody Hildebrand and Ruby Frankie situation. Utah's sick of this reputation that they have. And I've seen a lot of movement.
Yep.
To stop this shit.
Yeah.
So it's a start, but it's definitely not enough when it isn't a requirement.
If your religion prevents you from reporting child abuse, particularly sex abuse.
Right.
What are you doing here?
Right? What are you doing here? Why? I mean, don't you ever ask yourself, why? How could there ever possibly be a good reason for that? There isn't. Well, that's a lot of misdeeds, and I'm sure we'll have many more for you. This is our last episode of the week, so we will be back on Monday with lots more interesting stuff, I'm sure. Uh-huh. Lots of updates. The Adam Montgomery trial is marching on.
Oh, boy.
The it Michelle is Tucker trial is marching on. Yes. Uh-huh. So we'll be sharing with you those things, as well as I'm sure lots more.
Bunch of rulings came through in Delphi today and some new filings.
Oh, yes.
Yet again, another. Somebody on Twitter today called it the case that never sleeps. And boy, it sure is. Yeah. Lots more there and other things. Yeah.
Yep. So we'll be back with all of that. So don't forget to like, subscribe, share, comment. Leave a review wherever you can. I saw we have a lot of Spotify reviews now, which is great. Mm-hmm. I know we have quite a few over on Apple as well. You know, we love stuff like that. It just helps us to grow.
Also, you guys know we actually do have a chat group on Facebook?
Oh, yeah, we do. We forget to talk about it.
We kind of forget to use it, too. I'd like to do better at interfacing in it and chatting in it more. But there's a weird – Facebook doesn't alert us when we have posts in there. It's weird. Anyway. Yeah. So I forget to go over there and see what's up, but I'd like to expand that more. It's a great place for people to come and talk about various cases and share things that they're seeing. And it's just True Crime Squad discussion group. Mm-hmm. If you want to come and join it, we'd love to have you over there as well.
We sure would. And sometimes it's where people alert us to cases or movement in cases we didn't know about, which we always appreciate. Mm-hmm. Many of you help to keep us up on track with some things, and we do appreciate it because it is a lot to keep track of all of the cases that we follow.
Well, and if it's a case in your area, you're probably getting a lot better coverage of it than we're seeing. Yeah. And so we love it when you share with us. Please don't ever feel like, it's not appreciated. It definitely is. Especially things like recently this case in Hawaii, a couple of them. And then the ongoing case that's going on in Alaska right now. And for example, when the woman who is accused of poisoning her in-laws with the soup, yes. with the mushrooms.
Yeah.
We had talked about that briefly and then never heard another word. And guess what? A listener cued us in that there'd been an arrest and we were able to start covering that again. So yeah, just if you see something and you think we would be interested, send it over. Send it over to us on social media. Make a comment, something. We won't get to everything we can't possibly, but we'll try. And we do appreciate the heads up.
We do have Instagram. We get messages on Instagram from y'all too. And we do appreciate it because, yeah, it's a lot to keep track of. And if you've got a case that's really on your heart, make sure we know what's up. Because we're always trying, but, you know, it's very easy to drop things. Because it's just so much. So yeah, we do appreciate that. And we appreciate all of you for your support in doing that. It's great. All right. Well, you know it. We are the True Crime Squad. Thanks for being here.
Take care.